Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This indeed is the broadcast for August 21st in the year of our Lord, 2017. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we celebrate the freest country on the face of the earth. We reject revolution but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Now, we do have the right of self-defense. This is not a statement of not willing to stand up or be strong, but it is a statement that we lead with peace. We lead with the ability to do our very best to avoid war. And it's only tyrannical thugs that force war upon us, tragic but true. So Joseph Smith Jr. back in the day proposed a peaceful solution to solve the slavery problem. Yeah, we could abolish slavery by peaceful means. They're ignoring that reality check in history. They're also ignoring that most of it related to economic realities and the violation of states' rights. All right. For example, Joseph Smith Jr. said at the time, the Southern people are hospitable and noble, and they will help to rid our country of slavery. We just got to make it fair and equitable to do so. That's all ignored. They want to create a bonfire for history and destroy everything in its path. Tragic but true. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to play a new game. How about a letter from Senator Orrin Hatch? Well, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, got one, huh, Lowell?
I sure did, Sam. A couple of weeks ago, probably thousands of people in Utah got the very same email. I tend to read these, and, not that I believe everything that I read, but I certainly read it, and because so many other people probably get these kinds of letters. I mean, if you're politically active, then you probably get letters from your lawmakers back to you, and I thought it would be instructive to read two or three paragraphs from this letter and just, shed some light on what they're really saying and because you can't believe what you read most of the time, from these politicians. And so here's a letter from Senator Orrin Hatch. Now, I'm going to read a paragraph, and then I'm going to ask you whether you agree or disagree with the good senator. And to explain why.
All right. So do you want us just to agree or disagree, or do you want us to elaborate?
Yeah, I want you to elaborate.
Perfect.
Why would you agree or disagree with what he says? So he starts out here. He says, "Dear friend, I represent."
All right, disagree. and the reason that I say that is, he's not treating me as a friend at all. You act like I'm your friend, but yet I couldn't sit down with you at the table for a discussion if I tried. Friends make themselves available to me. And Orrin Hatch does no such thing, sir.
Exactly right, Sam. Good point. Kurt, do you agree or disagree? Are you a friend of his or not?
I'm a friend in so many ways. I'd like to give him counsel like, go back to your roots, remember your early days of voting, somehow re-establish your connection to the Constitution. We need the old Orrin Hatch, not the new and not improved version anymore.
Yeah, it'd be far more accurate just to say, like, dear Utahn, or, a citizen of Utah or something.
Dear betrayed.
What's that?
Dear sucker.
Dear betrayed. Dear sucker.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, go ahead,
sucker.
Sir.
I represent a generation of lawmakers brought up on the principles of bipartisanship and compromise, and I believe that these very virtues are the keys to my success as a senator. By putting these principles in practice and by working in good faith with my friends from across the aisle, I've been able to pass more bills into law than anyone alive today.
All right, now I disagree on so many fronts, it's beyond imagination. with this one, read the first part, just because it's so full of buzzwords. Again,
I represent a generation.
All right,
of
stop. You represent who? You're supposed to represent the people that elected you, not a generation of bureaucrat thugs.
Exactly.
All right, secondarily, this idea that we have bipartisanship, Okay, I reject single parties, but I also reject two parties getting together, two private organizations, and making the rules for us. You need to represent everyone that is your constituent. In other words, those who elected you, not other lawmakers, not a bipartisanship agenda. You need to represent those who elected you. And party is not part of the mix. The rule of law, morality, integrity, the proper role of government based on checks and balances. Those are the landmarks of a servant, statesman, lawmaker. Lowell?
Totally agree, Sam. And then he talks about these as if they're virtues. He says, I believe these very virtues are the keys to my success. I'm looking back to the first sentence. Now, what virtues did you seem to mention? Compromise? Bipartisanship? He calls these virtues. Nothing could be further from the truth, folks.
And then finally, he acts like the more legislative pieces he passes, the more rock starish he becomes. I would like somebody not to pass laws. I'd like them to simply stand for liberty. And I would like to say I've abolished more government unconstitutional programs than any other. I'd like to be known as Dr. No. Oh, that was Ron Paul. He had a birthday. Happy birthday, Ron. I would prefer that kind of a viewpoint, Lowell.
And we make the very same mistake locally, Sam. We meaning the local newspapers and the local crowds. The Deseret News here in Utah and the Salt Lake Tribune here in Utah are the two biggest rags, I suppose. And they look at the bills that were passed by the legislature every year, right? In March of every year, they add up all the bills passed by all the various legislators, and then they declare that the legislator with the most bills passed, they declare him to be the most effective legislator. What a joke, guys. I mean, in my book, like you said, Sam, the most effective legislator is the one who understands the Constitution and then adheres to the proper role of government. It makes me wonder, you know, wouldn't it be nice for them not to, to even be in session? I mean, what do they need to do? They just cause trouble when they get back there in Congress in Washington, D.C. And, I mean, the more they are in recess, the more they stay home, the less they spend time to spend in Washington, D.C., the better, in my opinion.
The more we cut their salaries, the more they meet maybe once a week. You know, we could have the post office distribute the mail once a week, and they could meet once a week and would literally save billions and trillions of dollars with those two ideas alone. They could legislate and be part of the one-day-a-week deal from their own districts and jurisdictions where they could meet with the people and spend time. They wouldn't have to have two locations. I mean, there's so much we could do. It's beyond imagination. All right, agree or disagree? Next one.
I draw from my own personal experience as a legislator, not to gloat, but to convey a simple truth. In an era of endless gridlock and increasing polarization, there is no alternative to civility and healthy debate. This is a point I made recently in Time magazine, and it's a point that bears repeating after months of stalemate, discord, and partisan bickering in Congress.
So I agree with his general point that we ought to have civility. And I agree that's the best way forward, and I agree that's a truth. However, in my opinion, his truth is couched in a lie. And that lie is that bipartisanship is the way to go. That sets up the Hegelian dialectic, forces the battle on a false fault line, and deceives the people. We need choice C, which means I can think and debate and discuss as I will, partisanship aside, and I can stand for the sacred cause of liberty, and I can stand with what's right every time and against what's wrong every time. So he's got a truth that he points to that I agree with. The problem is he couches it in a Hegelian dialectic lie, Lowell.
Well, and this is the one of the points that I wanted to illustrate, Sam, by reading this letter, was that most politicians will give you a little bit of truth with a whole bunch of spin or lie or hypocrisy. And he does it here, and you know, he's done this for years, and I don't know, I really doubt that he actually wrote this himself, but the staff learns to mix and mingle truth with lie, and they do it over and over. And so if you say, well, he's just lying here, I mean, he's sort of half truth, but mostly lie. but they do this all the time, folks. And so it's a sad thing because civility is good. I grew up reading George Washington wrote a book, a little tiny pamphlet on civility and the importance of civility. And so, yeah, I agree, and I subscribe to civility. And if you can have civility, so much the better. But I want to remind us that of something that Tina Cannon, now she's just a person like you and me, a common person who's involved in her local government, but she said a couple of weeks ago when I was talking with her, she says, I didn't run for a seat on the Morgan City or Morgan County Council to make friends. Let me read that again. I didn't run for a seat on the Morgan County Council to make friends. I ran to restore financial controls to local government. In other words, I don't particularly care whether my senator is civil or not. Yeah, it'd be fine if he is.
We learned. We struggled. We won.
I want him to adhere to...
The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Getting advice from a teenager is a little unusual, but please listen to me. If you find yourself pregnant and you're scared, I've got some advice because I've been there. My boyfriend wasn't ready to be a father, and frankly, he wasn't all that interested after I told him I was pregnant. My friends told me I should keep the baby because it would be fun. Well, having a baby is about the baby. It's not about whether I have fun. Some people told me my parents would help take care of the baby, but my baby still wouldn't have both a mom and a dad of her own. And that's really important to me. After putting my feelings aside, I made the best decision I could for my baby. Not because I felt it was easy, but because I felt it was right.
Adoption. It's about love.
I didn't give my baby up. I gave her more.
A message from LDS Family Services.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, we're playing a new game on the radio, ladies and gentlemen. Agree or disagree, we're talking about a letter that Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, got from Orrin Hatch. So far, I disagree with everything, including his welcoming statement. Dear friend, I think it's a lie. If I was his friend, he'd make time for me, and I could sit down with him and tell him my views, and he'd represent me. But he calls me a friend as if I'm really one, deceptive to say the least. He then really tells you who his real friends are. He's participating with all these bipartisan folks, reaching across the aisle in a spirit of compromise. I don't think we need to compromise the principles that made America great. I don't think we need to compromise simplicity. Now, I agree compromise, when you don't violate the Constitution, can make some sense. It doesn't have to be my way or the highway. But we need to stand on principle, not on compromise. All right, any more in this letter?
No, that's great, Sam. We've really hit this one pretty hard, and so I let me just end with the definition of bipartisan. I think Ron Paul may have done this, said this the first time, but he says, in America, we don't have a multiplicity of parties like other countries. Instead, we have two parties, an evil party and a stupid party. And when something is really evil and stupid, we call that bipartisan. There you go.
All right. It's kind of like the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and expecting different results. All right. Let's move to this quick thing about attacking the Fed on Facebook.
Well, this is another fun thing. Peter Schiff brought this out. The Facebook page of the Federal Reserve had a simple statement warning about potential scams, right? Now, scammers are pretty common nowadays, and they're common because they work, right? I mean, people are gullible enough to get scammed. And when someone calls you up and claims they are from the IRS and that you owe money, you know, some people get persuaded by that, unfortunately. And so I understand that the Federal Reserve wanted to just post a statement warning their readers about potential scams. But this became really humorous really fast, and so I just couldn't resist talking about this just a little bit. But this is what they posted on their Facebook page. Basically, it's a Fed FAQ, meaning frequently asked question. It goes, Fed FAQ, I received a suspicious-looking email that claims to be from the Federal Reserve. Is it a scam? Question mark. And so here come the comments, Sam. The very first comment gave a pretty good indication as to how this was going to go. It says, quote, whether it is or isn't from the Federal Reserve, the answer is, yes, it is a scam.
And the problem is the government just hates competition there, Lowell.
That's right. From there, Sam, people just piled on. Quote, everything from the Federal Reserve is a scam. I have more faith in emails from long-lost Nigerian relatives.
Now, the interesting thing is nobody defended the Fed, ladies and gentlemen. And what will happen is then the mainstream press will come out and say that's nothing but a bunch of robots, right? And then they'll ask for money, and we'll donate enough money to where that'll be put to shame. And the bottom line is nobody on the national stage except for Ron Paul really has the guts to take on the Fed appropriately, do they? They talk, but nobody really stands up significant, not even Rand, to the point of Ron.
That's right. And so just the bottom line here, folks, is the Fed is both corrupt and unconstitutional. It inflates our currency, which effectively becomes a hidden tax, which enables politicians to spend into circulation the money that they create out of thin air, thus building ever bigger the warfare state and the welfare state. And yet politicians do not get blamed for the theft. Most people don't see it, they don't realize it, and yet the purchasing power of the Federal Reserve note in your wallet and your purse is diminished ever so slightly every single day.
It's criminal activity, ladies and gentlemen, and ought to be called as such. Where's the Donald when you need him? Where's the conservative congressmen and senators when you need him? Literally, the Federal Reserve is conducting criminal activity against the people every single day.
Absolutely right, Sam. And I was just tickled. It just tickled my funny bone to look at this thing on their Facebook page, because people are, you know, they're in the know because of Ron Paul, because of his courage taking a stand against the Fed and saying, look, these guys, they're stealing your money, inflation is a tax, and so forth. Everybody in the country now understands the Fed's a scam. I just love the fact that everybody recognizes they're a scam.
Well, it's hard to know which is the bigger scam, the Federal Reserve, or the IRS, or the, you know, Social Security system, or whatever. Every one of them is committing fraud. Every one of them is committing crimes. Every one of them is a lie and stealing, right?
And I like what you say, Sam. You look forward to the day when there will be honest and sound money. You use the adjective honest because, you know, a Federal Reserve note is not honest. It can be printed for just 1 or 2 cents, and if it's a $100 bill printed for 1 or 2 cents, then the creator of that note, the counterfeiter of that note, enriches himself and steals just a minuscule amount of money from everybody else who circulates that note. And so it's dishonest money. It is not honest. And then you use the adjective sound to connote the value. There's intrinsic value in gold and silver or any other commodity that you might use as money, but not in a Federal Reserve note. It's not sound because there is no intrinsic value to the Federal Reserve note in your purse or in your wallet. And so those are the very two adjectives that you have used to describe, you know, honest and sound is the monetary system that we need in this country. We need to get back to it. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible was very clear about sound, a system of weights and measures. He wanted an honest system of weights and measures. And you get that with gold and silver and with commodities like grain and stuff, but you don't get that with Federal Reserve notes. And he warned us, he warned the people back then that what would be their plight if they embraced a fiat currency. And we have now embraced it for over 100 years, Sam. And it's not good. It's not looking good for our country because we have not listened to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this very issue. Sam?
There you have it. What do you say, Kurt?
You know, on the Federal Reserve thing, I was looking at, up that thing, Federal Reserve Facebook, and I thought it was interesting to see, I guess, when the, well, Fortune.com has a piece. Here's what happened when the Federal Reserve went on Facebook. And, you know, for example, one guy said, tell me more about the private meeting on Jekyll Island and the plans for public prosperity that some of the world's richest and most powerful bankers made in secret, please. You know, that was one post. The other guy says, can you guys please help me get some of that Q&E? I'm trying to buy 16 cars, 4 houses, 2 jets, and a yacht. I swear it will stimulate the economy. I'll spend it all and cycle it back. I know of a lot. Anyway, it goes on, but he says, thanks, Fed. You are such a moral and upstanding institution, you know. Anyway, there's a lot of fun there, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, why didn't Obama let me create the money and just I could help with quantitative easing big time if I could print the money and, you know, I could just help out. What do you think?
Well, that's right, and that's one of the things I enjoy, you know, selling the raw honey and then having time to put out the money on the table. Boy, you see people look at that like, what's that thing, a silver certificate? They see the United States note, and they start questioning in their mind, well, what in the world is all this? You know, and before you know it, then they see an old silver dollar, and then they see the new ones, you know, the new fake gold dollars, you know, and they start asking themselves all these questions like, And then when you see the 2017 silver dollar from the United States, you know, mint, boy, you know, they're just, many of them are just in a daze. As
yeah, the problem is they don't
on.
Cost a dollar.
Yeah,
just
point.
Highlighting the problem, right? All right, really quick before the end of the segment, we got to let Lowell fly. South Jordan mayoral candidate proposes a city-owned bus line. Stuck on stupid disaster in the making, Lowell.
You can say that again. And so while this South Jordan mayor deals with his harboring interventionist proclivities, let me describe a very inexpensive private market alternative to public transit, which is employed in Mazatlan, Mexico, one of the tourist capitals of the world. They move millions of people every year, and they do it with privately owned and operated buses. Well, and they have other taxis and all kinds of things, but they have a bus system there. Nearly 400 buses, each one privately owned and operated. You don't spend more than 5 minutes waiting for a bus, and the fare is only about 50 cents. They run from 5 in the morning to 11 at night.
Nuts on parade, reject it, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Lowell.
You're welcome, guys. Thanks so much.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Believe it or not, a Missouri state senator has posted a statement on Facebook saying, quote, I hope President Trump is assassinated. She later deleted the comment. Maria Nadell was exasperated with what she saw as trauma and despair after the violence in Charlottesville and the president's response. In an interview with the Kansas City Star, she said, quote, the way I responded was wrong. She told the newspaper, quote, I'm frustrated. Did I mean the statement? No, I'm just absolutely frustrated. There's more reaction to President Trump's attack on two U.S. senators on Twitter. Senator Graham of South Carolina charged the president with, quote, dividing Americans, not healing them. Through his statements, The president took a step backward by again suggesting there is moral equivalency between white neo-Nazis and the KKK members who attended the rally in Charlottesville. This is one difference of opinion that's not going to go away very quickly, and we're likely to be hearing quite a lot about this in the coming days. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly internet news analysis service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source, worldaffairsbrief.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, thefreedomcoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E, free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby breaking down education realities. They ought to be shutting down the education department. That's what Republicans promised for decades. But now we got Trump in power. We got Republicans in control everywhere. We got Betsy DeVos, supposedly a private sector, you know, school choice person. But I don't see any talk of getting anything done at all, Kurt. In fact, it's flat out silence if there's anything I can see about it. However, there are some scandalous realities going on. Two different issues. Well, actually, three. We'll talk about them. In the government schools. First, I guess, there's a teacher, a girl named Amy. How do you say her last name, Kurt?
Let's see.
Palmatosa?
Yeah, something like that with a last name. Big, long last name. But, you know, in this case, Sam, this is apparently a big private school. Now, you know, this L.A. Times piece goes into the fact that, you know, some of the biggest costs that we've got in the government school now are massive, you know, settlements that are paid to these sexual abuse cases. I mean, it's just incredible. But this lady, I don't know, probably using the term loosely, but she's 45, and they say she was taken into custody last Friday by detectives. Spokesman for the L.A. Police Department said this. The alleged victim of hers is a 16-year-old male student at the school. Now, this is a school, Sam, where big shots like Arnold Schwarzenegger's kids go and others, you know, so you got big-time money. Brentwood School, I guess you'd pay like $40,000 a pop for the year's, you know, tuition. But anyway, a sad thing is, hey, you take the government, you take, you know, the Ten Commandments out of the system, out of any semblance of life, and I think you shouldn't be surprised to get this kind of result. But in the story, it also talks about how the LA Unified School District, which, you know, is different than this, but they last year paid $88 million to settle sexual abuse cases at two elementary schools where the complaints about the teacher's behavior had surfaced long before their arrests. Earlier, the district, that's the Los Angeles Unified School District, paid a total of $200 million in the case of a Miramonte Elementary School teacher accused of abusing students in his classroom. You know, the LA Times in this piece says, in 2016, they found the district's total bill for such cases surpassed $300 million in 4 years. I mean, in the old days, they had to buy pencils, paper. Well, now they got to buy a lot more than that, huh, Sam?
The question I have, Kurt, is what's the solution? Right? Because I think this is critical. If we're going to talk about this massive problem, and you got these Hollywood, parents that got their kids in private school that are all freaked out now as if it's, a big deal. And by the way, I agree it's a big deal, but for different reasons than they might. But they act like they're just surprised about this. And I have a little idea for Holly Warped, first of all. We'll get to that in a second. What do you think the solution is, Kurt?
Well, two or three things. Look at what worked before. Number one, it wasn't like a shock to see the Ten Commandments. It wasn't a shock to talk about God or, to pray in schools. Look at the old Little House on the Prairie movies, that kind of thing. You'll see a whole lot more, the Waltons, that kind of thing. You'll see a whole lot of that in there. And you'll see that people actually paid their own school fees, they didn't force other people to pay those school fees. They could choose where they wanted to send them. The teachers and the administrators didn't have, get billions of dollars and that kind of thing. I mean, it was kind of like what medicine of old, Sam, as well. I mean, the doctor got a chicken or whatever. So restore God, get the government out of it. That'd be kind of a couple of big starts in my book.
I agree with every bit of that, but I also will say this, Hollywood promoting sex at every turn, through movies, through visuals, through advertising, it's everywhere, the over-sexualization of our society. Every sex is encouraged except for appropriate, God-ordained relationships between a husband and a wife, legally and lawfully married. Every other sex is promoted, the appropriate, God-ordained procreative sexual responsibility is simply ridiculed and mocked, while every other sexual perversion is celebrated. Now, when the Hollywarped leaders and adults are that engrossed in this sexual manipulation, why are they surprised when a teacher falls for it and tries to seduce a student? When a student, for literally decades, students have been kind of thought, hey, I'm hot, the teacher, kind of an idea, where a teenage guy is like, I'm a stud if I can bed the teacher. That's the viewpoint that's perpetuated and promoted. Where's God in this mix? Where's the discussion about appropriate sexual relationships, that it's not to be tampered with, that it's sacred, that it's God-ordained only within the bonds of appropriate matrimony, husband and wife, only with one another and no one else, ordained of God for the purpose of bringing God's children to the earth, for the purpose of bringing a husband and a wife together in strengthen that relationship? Where's the guidance that would provide stability and safety here? It's gone. And so when they over-sexualize society and then wonder why it affects their kids and their school and their students and their children, hello? It's pretty obvious. If you want less of it, folks, I suggest you change course, that you repent, that you reject sexual perversion, that you stand for the appropriate God-ordained sexual relationship that God has set guidelines for, restrictions on, for the stability and safety of his children. In an effort to promote the fundamental unit of society, the family, the sooner they start looking in that direction, the sooner we'll have answers. But if they continue along their path, they express this dismay. But what they'll do is double down in the same direction, and it'll get worse. Because they've got the wrong formula for stability and success, Kurt. All right. I guess there's another government school story.
I couldn't agree more, Sam. This
one's I guess they got some interesting twists when it comes to, I don't know what they call these, Kurt. But they're like detectors of some kind, right?
Let's see. I'm trying to see New York City schools. Okay.
To use vaping. Oh, yeah, that's right. Now, what the heck is a vaping and a bullying?
Vaping, as far as I can tell,
it's like
Sam,
that smokeless
vaping
tobacco
is where you,
stuff, right?
Yeah, that's right. Where you vape, you know, it's like smoking, but you're not really smoking, I guess. I don't know, you know, but this is according to Fox 5 NY. And the headline reads, NY schools to use vaping bullying detectors. Smoking and vaping are banned in all New York schools. So, I mean, shouldn't that be the end of it? I mean, because as long as they made a law against it, nobody will do it. But doggone it. It says now schools are testing technology that can smoke out offenders. The new technology inside a little box may play a big role in holding students who break the law accountable. One guy there, he's a CEO from Digital Fly. He says, if we get a spike above the line, then we know if there's an incident occurring and we notify the officials. The New York governor, as Rush Limbaugh would say, Governor Cuomo, banned the use of e-cigarettes on all public and private school grounds. Well, that should have got rid of them. The device called FlySense can detect gas and moisture in the air, indicating vaping is taking place. A spike in the data means something is suspicious. Peterson said the device then sends an alert to a cell phone. The device has another sensor to track peaks in sound levels to also determine if bullying or fighting is possibly happening. There wouldn't be bullying in government school, though, Sam. From a privacy standpoint, the company said the device has no microphones and can't record conversations. Yeah, do you believe that? It only measures changes in sound. Peterson said that the technology measures what a normal bathroom sounds like. Yeah, you know, your normal bathroom. With running water, normal chatter, and more. And then picks up the anomalies. The New York State Department of Health found that e-cigarette use by high school students nearly doubled in the last 2 years. It went from 10.5% to 20.6%. By the way, the several school districts are going to start testing this technology right now, baby.
And at first, you might think it's okay, but when you really dig into it, you kind of start to ask some questions about, what about teaching people to follow God, teaching people in family units to behave, rather than monitoring every move in a tyrannical situation?
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, anything else on this bullying monitor, Kurt, and this vaping monitor they're putting in the government schools in New York?
Well, all I can say is I can't imagine them needing to have any things like this because there is no bullying. There's no bad stuff going on in government schools, Sam. This is a Shangri-La kind of place. I mean, where kids go and learn good things and, you know, everything's safe and there's just no problems there, you know?
In my mind, one of the biggest things is we got to have a reality check about what the problem really is. The problem isn't people are vaping. The problem isn't people are really bullying. The problem is they're in an unsupervised situation and they haven't been raised with proper principles in mind from the get-go. That's my humble opinion, Kurt.
Yep, we spend boatloads of money, you know, $300 million in the L.A. Unified School District to pay off people that were, you know, using children perversely in 1 year, $300 million. And then we, you know, at least we don't have to worry about posting the Ten Commandments there, you know. I mean, it's just insane and all it will cost is more and more and more dollars and our, you know, treasure, and that is our treasure of our children and our families, you know, unless we return to, well, what worked.
There you have it. All right, in Texas, I guess they got good news, but I got a little bit of a cold water splash for them, Kurt.
Yeah? Good news in Texas. Texas permanently bans. This is what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the headline read, Texas permanently bans taxpayer funding of abortion. So when you see the headline, you think, well, good, no more abortion in Texas. Well, you know, they got all these ways around it. And frankly, it was just, in my opinion, just a good headline. But we sure like to... Well, hope for that.
I pray for that, and I think their stance is commendable.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate Texas permanently banning taxpayer funding of abortion. I think that's phenomenal. However, what they don't understand, Kurt, as long as they have a big influx of money from the feds, it won't last long, Kurt.
Yeah, they say that...
It's kind of like being mad at dad and saying, shut up, dad, give me the money and the car keys so I can go out tonight. Idea, right? I mean, it's not going to work. I appreciate their agenda, but they'll get sued. They'll get shut down. They'll get bogged down in the courts. The funds will be threatened. It's just a non-starter unless Donald and the courts stand up today. Kurt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
Congress is stuck on stupid. We know they won't stand up. They never have on anything that I've seen modern times at all.
Well, when you get the kind of leadership like Ryan and McConnell, I mean, you know. But, yeah, the governor down there, Greg Abbott, signed this legislation to prohibit taxpayers from funding elective abortions through their health insurance. So at least, you know, there's a move in the right direction. And, you know, hats off to him, you know, big Texas cowboy hat. Tipping to those Texans.
But I wish somebody would talk to him and say, look, your agenda, your fight back is a great effort. I commend you for your effort, but I'm telling you, as long as you keep on the government dole, you will not win that battle.
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't mean to be negative, but I do mean to throw a reality check on the discussion. I wish we could make this a more of a serious discussion.
I guess the governor down there said this bill prohibits insurance providers from forcing Texas policyholders to subsidize elective abortions. He said, I'm grateful to the Texas legislature for getting this bill to my desk and working to protect innocent life. This special session. HB, I think it was called 214, which the House passed and the Senate approved, applies to elective abortions and specifically includes an exemption for cases of medical emergency to save the mother's life.
And by the way, I support that. Now, the problem is that'll be a hole that you'll drive a truck through. But nevertheless, let's talk about this, though. Do you think they'll be successful in the reality? Now, I know you hope they will, and I support that and agree 1,000%. But do you think they'll be successful? What do you think will happen?
You know, so many times all you see is a good, the governor there looking good for some media thing. But when push comes to really shove or, real action gets done, it's just way too little really gets done.
Yeah, and what I see here is what'll happen is the courts will sue. It'll come down to a black-robed tyranny maker, in my opinion, where an activist judge or two or three will just turn it on its head. It'll just languish in the courts. Donald won't stand up. Supreme Court justices won't stand up. Congress won't stand up. And then it'll just kind of die on the vine, go away, or somehow be compromised. I pray that it will be successful. But when and how? Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on the ball for you. And I don't mean to be negative, but I do mean to kind of put a reality check to the discussion a little bit. I hope it's real. I pray it's real. I agree with that. And I commend them for making the stance. The problem is that it reminds me a lot of what the Republicans do. They really stand for the right things when they know that it won't go anywhere.
Yeah.
But if it really goes somewhere, will they really all stand together on it? Modern reality check shows they talk a big talk, but they don't walk a big walk.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kurt?
I sure wish I could say you're wrong, Sam.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
I agree, because I'd love to be wrong. I'd love nothing more than to be proven wrong. And, at first you might say, well, Sam, you're just negative. But I don't really mean to be negative, but I do mean to bring a reality check to the discussion. Sometimes we as conservatives just kind of get super excited about something and then go to sleep. And that's the biggest mistake we can make. However, if we can literally, for example, you got literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the streets rejecting this, quote, white supremacy movement, which is a lie and doesn't even exist. They act like the KKK is everywhere. It's a lie. However, when it comes to standing up for the Texans who want to reject abortion on demand, I don't see any backers. I don't even see anybody putting their money where their mouth is. So I pray it gains traction. But I don't have a lot of faith, Kurt. Maybe I'm just too cynical. Like I say, I pray that I'm wrong. I'd love nothing more than to come on the radio and say, Sam has a big old egg to smash in his face. Sam was wrong as could be. Thank heavens for the pro-life stance of good, honest Americans standing together for the sacred cause of liberty, setting aside all divides and standing on a common cause of pro-life, one of the greatest purposes for the proper role of government. Sam was wrong. Good for them. I'd love to say that, Kurt. In fact, I'll pray for that.
Nice.
I'll do everything within my power to advocate for that view.
Yeah.
I just know from experience it sounds super good. But I don't know. All right, Roy Moore's in the news. This is an interesting update, ladies and gentlemen. Is the mainstream press telling you about this one like they ought to be?
This is a Breitbart piece,
so there's at least
somebody saying it, but I don't see it very,
good for Breitbart,
places.
Kurt.
Yeah, aim into that, and they've got a recent poll that basically says, hey, Judge Roy Moore got a huge amount of support over the strangest guy, Luther Strange. I don't know how you get a more weird name, have a first name Luther and the last name Strange, but anyway, the guy got his place. This Strange guy got appointed in the seat vacated by Attorney General Jeff Sessions under questionable circumstances earlier this year when the governor down there, by the way, he's former governor, this Strange guy was the attorney general and he was conducting an investigation of the former governor. So then the former governor says, hey, you can be senator, and I guess that kind of cut out that investigating going on. But the bottom line is, the good folks in Alabama, they see through it And this latest poll says with 95% confidence interval and a 4.3% error or margin of error, Moore's commanding lead with a majority of support in Alabama is far outside the margin of error in this poll, making him the clear GOP front runner walking into Election Day on September 26th. They had 515 respondents. Bottom line is Mitch McConnell and his pals and everybody else, they backed Moore's opponents, and yet, hey,
they're not even literally admitting that this poll exists. They're not even reporting it. What they're going to do is come out with a CNN or some other perverted, manipulated poll to act like it's not true. They don't even want to admit who's the front runner here, Kurt, at all.
Now, you remember that we also talked about Trump basically backing one of Moore's opponents. So he didn't back Strange. He backed Mo Brooks, who was also backed
Trump endorsed Strange, right?
No, I think he endorsed Mo Brooks.
I don't think so. I think a lot of the talk show hosts backed Brooks, but I think that Trump backed Strange.
Anyway, after the maybe that's the way it was. It gets kind of confusing to me, but anyway, after
anybody but Roy Moore is the point by the inside thug Republicans.
Yeah, after the vote, then apparently, he sent a little tweet and he says, that I congratulate both Moore and Strange. You know, I did that via Twitter. So we'll see. This article says it remains to be seen what the president may or may not do for Strange or for Moore moving forward ahead of the September 26th runoff. I guess they got to have a runoff and then go against the Democrats.
Yeah, I'm convinced he already endorsed and backed Strange, though, I think, because I remember how strange that was, Kurt.
Yeah, it was pretty strange.
So our prayers are that Roy Moore wins. I mean, you know what? We need a solidly pro-life, pro-marriage,
amen,
pro-family senator at the helm. Boy, howdy, do we need that big time.
Maybe I'll show some of those other guys what to do there in the Senate.
Amen. Nothing like fantastic leadership. Our prayers are with Roy Moore, ladies and gentlemen. Be careful on the eclipse. If you watch it, make sure you don't do so with a, quote, naked eye. Make sure you have some kind of a filter. They say it can be very dangerous, so there you go.
Yeah.
I would say rather than looking at God's marvels, maybe we ought to pay attention to God on other matters, personally. Just my humble opinion. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. Hard-hitting talk radio always at your fingertips. Please get involved in every way, including financial. Our websites, libertyroundtable.com, libertynewsradio.com, and libertynewsdaily.com. We declare we the people. Along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. Will you help? This nation shall endure.